Man, oh man, I freaking love that theme song, and I know I say that all the time, but I need to get a video intro together because that theme song is so freaking good.
It's pretty stellar, and there's a bunch of new weird and wacky Mario video to use for it. Like,
that is true. We will get to that in a second. In the meantime, welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Ryan. Hello, Ryan.
Hello. How's it going?
Good. I'm excited to talk all things Nintendo Switch. So the reason that we actually moved our recording from Wednesday to Friday is because Nintendo had a big press event last night at 11 p.m. Eastern, and they introduced us to everything that is Switch. We got a release date, we got pricing, we got launch titles, as few as they are, but we got launch titles. And so we are here to talk to you all about everything that happened last night. So we're going to jump right in because there is a lot of stuff to cover. Mm-hmm. First things first, Nintendo Switch is coming March 3rd, 2017, which is pretty much as early in March as you could possibly get. I think everyone was kind of like, whoa, really?
Yeah.
Beginning of the month? Well done, Nintendo.
I don't think anyone predicted March 3rd. I certainly wasn't thinking March 3rd. Like, March 3rd, honestly, is a perfect date for me, just because it's like after a bunch of stuff and before a bunch of other stuff, and right before my birthday, not close enough to Mass Effect Andromeda. I mean, Horizon Zero Dawn is a little upset that I'm going to be ignoring it, but I mean, it's kind of good placement, and kudos to Nintendo for giving themselves enough breathing room, because they said they're going to ship 2 million of these consoles before end of fiscal, so that gives them a month to move those consoles, and I think they'll be able to do it. Considering all things considered, we talked about the launch titles, but that's March 3rd is just around the corner.
It really is. And so the other thing that we got was pricing. So it's $2.99 mm-hmm. in the States, which means it's $3.99 for us Canadians, which not cheap. We're not getting hit nearly as hard on the exchange rate for the console as we are for the games and for the accessories. But there's still a little bit of a hit there for us Canadians, as our dollar is not near on par with the States. So unfortunately, it is $100 more expensive for us up north. But pre-orders sold out in moments online. Mm. So both Ryan and I were lucky enough to get Best Buy pre-orders in. And, you know, it's really funny because last night, after the admittedly very odd presentation.
Yeah. It started off strong and then like dipped into the weird. And it's like, okay, it's a Japanese presser. And then it just went off the rails, and I'm like, what are we watching?
It seemed like, and they also almost like switched translators partway through or something, because it felt like the guy at the beginning was like really excited and was kind of there and presenting, and then by the end it was like he wasn't even, whoever was on the stage would be talking for like 20 to 30 seconds and the translator just wouldn't say anything. And I'm like, okay, I know he's saying stuff, like
the translator
was just like, hello everyone, silence.
Yeah, there was a couple of weird ones, specifically this Suda51 presenter, who is by all means a very wacky Japanese developer, wackier than most.
Was he the guy that like came on the stage and was like, hello, with like big arms and stuff? Was that him?
He was like weird and moving around. He had the swoosh in his hair, and all he had was like a piece of concept art behind him. It's like, hey guys, I'm making this game that you all loved on the Wii for the Switch, and I'm just gonna be wacky and confuse the translator. I think it was one of those. This is why Nintendo does Nintendo Directs, because they're very polished, they're pre-filmed. This was definitely a live presentation that was being live translated, except for most of the, you could tell when everything was scripted, like the EA guy who's like, I named my son's middle name Luigi, which of course just happens to be a character for Nintendo and doesn't have anything to do.
He was cringy for a whole other reason. Like, he was just like traditional nerd awkward. He's just like, I named my son. His name is Luigi because it's Nintendo.
Well, the issue with
so bad.
The issue with him is like, At least Todd Howard, the guy for that works on Skyrim.
I am terrible with names. I don't know.
Okay, the only other guy who wasn't Japanese throughout the whole presentation, who wasn't translating, it was a video for Skyrim, and he's like, I didn't come to Japan, but we're totally making a game for you guys. I'm not coming to Japan. But EA's like, let's send that German guy. He'll just talk about FIFA. It'll be great. So that's the thing. Throughout the presentation, they're like rolling these people out. And as per usual, the strong points of the presentation are the Nintendo points. And anytime it's not a Nintendo thing, it's like the game is coming out in 2017 or it's strictly just a concept. Like we said, one of them was literally concept art. We'll get into games later, but like that press conference totally nailed in that, nah, this is the same old Nintendo console that's going to have limited third-party support, and they always do this. They show you that big photoshopped board of developers saying, here are all the people developing for our system, and then when they actually get to the games, it's like, yeah, well, they're not actually...
Nothing's actually ready yet.
Yeah, games take time. We didn't get a dev kit out for a very long time. We apologize. But in terms of hardware, man, this stuff is expensive. If we're looking at the console solely, like, 400 Canadian is probably the ceiling that I expected to pay. I had actually told Ashley when I was budgeting for this, it's like, you know, probably around 500 with the game and the console, I'd say around 500. And that's where we're hitting at, depending on how much you want to spend on Zelda. But it comes with the Joy-Con grip and the Joy-Con LR, which is exactly what you need to just start playing, both on the TV and in handheld mode. But if you look at the other accessories, specifically the Pro Controller, isn't even available for pre-order yet. But if you look at that controller, it's $70 US.
Yeah.
That, now, if we go...
And do you know what's even more ridiculous than that $70 US, though, is that what is more expensive is another set of those Joy-Con controllers. They are more expensive than a Pro Controller, which, yeah. I mean, yeah, you can tell how many ice cubes are in a glass. Yay! I think was supposed to kind of show you... give you the idea that the feedback, the vibration in the controller is not just like an on-off thing. Like, you can tell, like, it gives you the actual feel of an object in your hand, which is kind of cool. But I would be pretty okay. I mean, and again, this is going to be dependent on a whole bunch of development from just everybody. Like, how many games are we actually going to get that it's going to matter if I can feel if there's three ice cubes or two ice cubes or one ice cube in a glass? Like, how are developers actually going to make use of this technology? But right now, I'm totally fine, even like with vibrate on or off, like easy peasy. Yeah. I don't need all this extra stuff. And all the extra stuff that's built into these teeny tiny little controllers is what's then pushing the price up to, you know, I think it's $70 in the US for the Pro Controller and $80 in the US for another set of those little Joy-Cons. Mm-hmm. And then, so in Canada, I believe it's $80. Is it $80 for the Pro Controller? I thought it was $90.
It probably would be $90 because the Joy-Con controllers, the set, are $100 in Canada. Yeah. And then to slap it onto another one of those grip controllers, that's an extra $40. And if you want to buy them individually, they're $65.
And chat room is telling us right now that the Pro Controller in the US is $70 US, and for some reason is $100 Great Britain pounds, which is insane because for those of you who aren't up on international currencies, the pound is actually worth more than the US dollar. So it should be like 50 or even 60 pounds to US $70, and it's like double the cost of what it should be. So it's that's insane.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know about you, but I was looking forward to purchasing a Pro Controller. I think that was on my list.
That was going to be part of my pre-order, going to be the Pro Controller. And then I was kind of like, oh my God, that's tacking an extra $100 onto my system. Yeah. So all of a sudden this thing, because I was expecting kind of 200, maybe 250 US. I was expecting around 300 Canadian. Yeah. So then when I found out it was 400 Canadian, I was just like, oh my God, that's already $100 more than I thought I was going to spend on the system. So then you combine that expense with a Pro controller, and all of a sudden I haven't even bought my game yet, and I'm hitting like $500.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I look at those prices, and I'm like, okay, Nintendo, clearly you don't want me to buy any extra controllers. That's fine. I think the only
they are absolutely doubling down on this whole Joy-Con experience.
Yeah, and we haven't tried them yet. We'll get our hands on them by the end of the month at the preview event, and maybe that's when we'll be like, okay, these controllers have function. But when you price your plastic, you have to sort of look at the competition. And if you look at what the Xbox One is doing and the PS4 are doing, you have to be competitive. I don't care if you have Ice Cube mechanics in and like the explanation, I get it, to try and explain like HD Rumble, we'll have to try it. And we're going to try it. We've already pre-ordered and we're going to check it out at the end of the month. It's happening. And I probably won't buy more controllers until I absolutely need to, but you can go to the store and buy an Xbox One controller, a PS4 controller for, I think it's $70 Canadian. And I mean, if you're pricing your equivalent controller over that when it is literally just a controller, like, I don't understand. Like, you that does not make sense to me. That mm-hmm. makes zero sense. And there's no news as to whether, you know, all of the accessories that were once compatible with the Wii and the Wii U are going to be compatible with the Switch. I highly doubt it. It seems like they're leaving all that stuff behind.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to tell because, I mean, the Wii controllers were compatible with the Wii U, right? Those motion controllers could carry over. So there's the chance that they would make the Pro controller for the Wii U capable of playing on the Switch. I hope they do because, obviously, I already own that controller, so I'm hoping I can just plug it in. But who knows?
But, you know,
they haven't released that information, which is kind of unfortunate because, and not only that, but they've basically been kind of touting this as the, you know, portable gaming system, really, like the portable console that you can, you know, like you can sit and you can play like on your TV, and then you can just take your controllers, scooch them onto the side, take it with you and play on the couch if somebody else wants to watch TV, and then you can throw it in your backpack and play it. And, you know, play your normal big open world Zelda on the bus on your way to work or school or whatever, and then come home and just plop it back down on your TV again. But if you want to go from TV to TV in the house, like, say, Ryan, you're playing in the living room and Ashley's like, we need to watch Teletubbies or whatever kids are watching these days, I really don't know, then, you know, like, you have to pick it up and you want to go play in, say, the basement. Well, that's going to cost you, again, an extra $90 American, which means it's probably going to be, like, $120 to $150 Canadian, which is, like, oh, my God. It's, like, a third of the price of the console is just this little plastic dock that basically lets the console that's doing all the work communicate with your television, which seems excessive.
and you know, that one I feel like is more optional. Like, I can unplug the dock.
Technically, all of these accessories are optional.
Of course, right? Yeah. Like, you can play. Okay, yes, that is true. And honestly, again, until we know, and we will, and I'm going to find out. Like, I'm not going to be like, well, I don't know if that grip Joy-Con thingamajig is gonna feel good, so I'm just gonna go out and buy the Pro controller because it's for pros. I'm not doing that. I'm gonna try it and I'm gonna see what it looks like, and then if I feel like the Joy-Con grip with the things don't work, the reason you bought a Pro controller with the Wii U is because you were stuck with the gamepad and it felt like, well, I want a traditional controller and that was your option. But I mean, from what I can see, the Joy-Con LR in the Joy-Con grip looks close enough to a controller. And you know, when Nintendo isn't putting giant screens and beefy tablets into their controllers, they usually are spot on with their control mechanics. And but that being said, I was a little, you know, a little upset that the Pro controller was so expensive, because I did want one for Zelda because it's a traditional game and I want to play it with traditional controls. And you know, they're offering a Pro controller, and maybe they aren't offering a Pro controller at launch. I haven't seen it available for pre-order anywhere. And you know, so maybe it won't be available at launch and they'll have it later on, but it does look really slick. And the other thing is, like, most people today during the live stream were using the Pro controller for demos. So it looks to be like one of Nintendo's most preferred control mechanics. So, yeah.
Well, and this is, usually my problem with Nintendo, mm-hmm. is they come out with these new things, these groundbreaking slash gimmicky, depending on which kind of camp you're in, but these new technologies, these new hardwares, and really what people want is to just sit with a normal controller. Mm-hmm. Like, and I mean, I guess they're making extra money by selling these then pro controllers, which really is the controller that everyone wants. But I don't know. We're going to have to see what actual technology is built into these things and what games that we get with that taking advantage of that technology. And I think that Zelda is going to be kind of the one that shows us, or at least I hope it will be, because I mean, if Nintendo can't even make good use of their own technology, that's a big red flag there. But yeah, we'll see how it goes. Like we said, it's launching in less than 2 months, so mm-hmm. And Ryan and I are going to actually get our hands on it. We are going to a preview event in 2 weeks, so,
and we will get to play Zelda, because honestly, yes, like that's gonna be,
which is great news. Yeah. And we're going to talk about the launch titles and the launch window titles and everything else. We're going to talk about that a little bit later on in the show. But Zelda was confirmed to be a launch title. It is going to be available March 3rd, same as the console. So that is great. That means we're going to get our hands on Zelda. It has not been delayed yet again.
No.
Contrary to some rumors that were circulating mm-hmm. from at least one website that I know and I can think of. But basically, there were rumors that it had been delayed yet again to holiday 2017, and Nintendo had done nothing to quash those rumors, so we were really worried that that was actually going to happen. But after, like, a ridiculously long, drawn-out, like, give-us-the-release-date of Zelda thing at the end of the Nintendo presentation, like, Matt literally, about halfway through, because this, like, the lead-up to giving us the Zelda release date was a good, like, 5 to 7 minutes. It was ridiculous.
They even like they even booted it back to New York, which yeah. then booted it back to Japan to say, like, well, I don't have that information. Let's yeah. go back to good old Tommy Boy in Tokyo. And I'm like, oh gosh, guys, come on.
Yeah, yeah. So after all of that jumping around, Matt's like, if they don't make this a launch title, people are going to riot.
Well, people aren't going to pre-order, because, I mean, well, as yeah, we found out later, like, you know, when they showed the original, like, I'll give Nintendo this, the original unveil, reveal, trailer, whatever, was really well done. And then I can see why that was really well done, because it's just there to create this hype, this anticipation. And then when they actually unveil everything, including the price and the launch date, like, it's hit and miss. I think the launch date's really good. The launch titles are, you know, if Zelda wasn't there, or if Zelda was delayed, like, you'd have a real problem. But I think they're really, like, moving everything out of the way for Zelda, because they know this thing's going to be huge. But there's a lot of missing parts to this. Like, we don't know what the OS is going to look like. We don't know how that's going to work. We haven't seen that. They haven't demoed it. We don't know how the online services are going to work. They're even going as far to say that there will be a paid online service starting in the fall, which will be free from March until the fall. And you're going to have to pay, you will have to pay for it if you want to play online. And the only detail they've given you is that you'll be able to use a smartphone app for voice and group chats and game invites, which I think that's great, but should be, you know, in tandem with the console. And also free to play games.
So I'm picturing, if mm-hmm. I have a smartphone app,
yeah,
then I plug my headphones into the smartphone app. I guess I could keep one headphone out, but I always tend to struggle to hear like voice comms over game volume. Like, that's always a very delicate balance for me. It's probably just me and my really crappy hearing, but it's always a delicate balance for me.
Sure.
So I'm kind of picturing, like, either I'm going to have, like, one ear in for voice comms, and then I'm going to have the rest of the game sound coming out of my speakers, or, like, is the game sound somehow gonna go through the app and then also come out my earbuds so I can have both headphones in? Or do I not need headphones at all? Is it going to send the voice comms through my speakers? Like, how is that all gonna work? Because it doesn't seem integrated the way every other voice communication is with every other game everywhere else.
I honestly think it'll basically just be, you have your earbuds through your iPhone or whatever, and it's just a separate app. There's no game volume coming through there. And it'll be similar to how we've Skyped people in to play Mass Effect in the past mm-hmm. to capture that audio for streams, except you're going to be using a Switch app on your phone. And this stuff appears to be coming down the road, which is weird because the first game that would actually really benefit from it would be Mario Kart launching in April. Mm. But there's no word on whether that's coming at launch or whether it's coming in the summer or even the fall when the paid service launches. But I don't know how you say you get a free trial and the paid service launches in the fall when we don't even know what the service will be or whether we'll actually get to trial it, you know? It's typical Nintendo, it's not done yet fashion. And
yeah.
Even going as far, like, they always like to do their own thing. They've said, like, basically, with this online service, you'll get a free-to-play NES and Super NES game, so Virtual Console. It's the only mention we got of Virtual Console. No other discussion.
But at least we did get a mention of it, so it means that it's possible.
it's happening, it's coming, and they have said they'll share more details before launch, but in terms of this paid service, you'll get to keep the game for the month. And after that month, if you haven't purchased it, you don't get to play the game anymore. You would have to buy it.
I think that's kind of fine. There are very few examples. I think probably like Mario Kart would be one example that I think has a ton of replayability. I played the crap out of that game. But a lot of the other ones, like, I think I'd be fine. I would be able to get through a playthrough in a month and then not need to go back to that again. There's a lot of things I own on Virtual Console for the Wii that I never played on the Wii. I just went, oh yeah, I totally want to try that, and then, you know, paid the $5, $10, $15 whatever dollars it was and downloaded it and then, you know, played it for a night and then moved on. So
yeah,
having the game for a month I think is fine.
It's Nintendo's spin on things, and like, I was trying to think, well, when was the last time I played a PlayStation Plus or an Xbox game longer than the month it came out? And it was really hard to fathom. I think the last one would have been Rocket League, and I would have happily purchased it after my month trial. But I mean, we won't know until it launches. And in terms of hardware, they laid it out pretty clearly, including how much of a dent it's going to make in your wallet. But all the other stuff is sort of up in the air, and it kind of seems like stuff that we would need to know before launch, but not necessarily stuff we'd need to know to pre-order, I guess. So I don't know. I guess we're both fine waiting because we already pre-ordered. It doesn't really matter how it's going to run. As long as it launches Zelda, I'm happy. That's all I need right now. That's my happy moment right there.
Yeah, and I think, like, as far as that goes, as far as my pre-order goes, for some reason I can't actually interact with Twitch and my chat is frozen, so I apologize, guys, because my computer is totally fucking up right now. Anyways, yeah, so what was I going to say? Oh, yeah, the pre-orders thing.
Yeah.
So I got a pre-order, and whether I keep my pre-order or not is really going to depend on our hands-on at the end of January, because it's so freaking expensive. It really, really is. And as much as I'm sure the Zelda title is going to play better on the Switch than it is on the Wii U, just because of straight up processing power, I still feel like maybe I'll just get it on the Wii U. Yeah. Because, and actually right now we're going to take a second to thank our patrons, but then we're going to get into some of the Nintendo Switch games, which it's not going to be a very long conversation. And that's part of the problem. But first, before we get into games, we are going to say thank you very much to all of our wonderful patrons over at patreon.com/thegamersin. We have some new goals and some new rewards coming very soon, so make sure that you check it out. Also, go to bit.ly/TGI Discord if you want to join in the conversation over there. Which brings us to our games, or I guess lack thereof, the launch lineup for the Nintendo Switch includes Zelda Breath of the Wild, which is awesome. But beyond that, there are, let's see, 5 more titles. There's 1, 2, Switch. I did it. That is one thing I meant to do through this entire episode, and I totally forgot. But yeah, so we've got 1, 2, Switch.
I can't.
We've got Just Dance.
It's broken.
We've got Skylanders and we've got Bomberman R. So basically, for comparison, because I think that this is literally the dumbest launch lineup of all dumb launch lineups, the Wii U, which we talked up and down about it not having enough actual games, launched with 32 day one titles, and we have 5.
Okay, now that being said, let's look at this Wii U lineup And if you look, take a quick glance at it, which of these games do you absolutely feel the need to play on the Wii U? And I was there. I did the launch lineup. And there was two games. Or, well, I guess there were three because it came with a pack-in. So Nintendo Land, which I probably would have not purchased. And we'll get to...
Well, but that's the other thing. The Switch does not come with any bundled games. Like,
yeah,
nothing.
Which is a first for Nintendo across the board. They've never done that before. The other one that I purchased was New Super Mario Bros. U and the Zombie U. So those two games. Yeah. And that was a solid, like, those were two games that you could pick up, put down, and pick up the other one in a very good clip, right? So then when you look at the... When you look at the Switch and you look at Zelda, it's like, of course I'm going to buy Zelda, and of course I'm going to deep dive on Zelda forever because I've been waiting a long time for that game. And, I mean, would I have loved maybe one other game? Like, would Mario Kart Deluxe, would have been a great title to have at launch? But honestly, it's coming like a month later, and I think Nintendo was just, they pushed everything out of the way of their games so Zelda could launch just unimpeded, because they knew everyone was just going to buy Zelda because it's Zelda.
And I'm sorry, Ryan, but I think that's a big load of crap.
Well, it's only like, my opinion, right? So
because you can't say they're pushing everything out of the way for mm-hmm. Zelda when the entire rest of the year has four additional titles. Even, right. Again, when you look at the launch of the Wii U launch games were ridiculous. There was another, like, 20 games on top mm-hmm. of the 32 that it launched with, and then not to mention all the other retail games. And mm-hmm. those were the launch window titles, which if you look at a launch window going from November to March, like, you've got listed under launch window the things that we've seen as their quote-unquote launch window titles are going all the way to holiday 2017. That's not launch window. Launch window goes up to Splatoon 2. That's it.
So yeah, yeah, oh, I agree.
Two more titles.
But the thing is, like, I don't, like, you may remember when the Wii U launched, one of the biggest issues it had was a non-existent launch window. They had that initial drive in terms of quality software, and then the next one to come out that was a big hit to kind of, like, launch onto was Pikmin 3, and that came out in August when the console launched in November. I remember it very dearly because it was like, what the hell? I had to literally dust off my Wii U to play it. And at least when you look at the launch, or the, I don't want to call it the launch window. Let's call it everything that comes out after March, because they've basically lined up what they're willing to talk about for the year. Like, this is January. They're not going to tell us everything. There's obviously E3 coming up, and they even announced a Nintendo Direct for a game that they announced that's happening next week. So we're going to get more news. But in terms of people convincing people to pre-order, like, I agree, like, this is a not your best foot forward. You know,
well, and the thing is, so Just Dance and Skylanders are also games that launched the Wii U, so they are very iterative. They're you know, like, we've seen them all before. The only thing that's really, like, new is this 1-2 Switch game, which is I guess very sandboxy. It's very much like Wii Sports would have been for the Wii. It's making the best use possible of their technology, which involves there's little, like, infrared reader things that you can, like, point at your opponent and then read facial features and stuff. I don't know. Like, honestly, the trailer for 1-2 Switch is another thing that I had a little bit of a problem with, because mm-hmm. it was like literally a like high noon standoff that lasted for over a minute and 20 seconds of just, like, two dudes standing in a field looking at each other. And I'm literally not exaggerating. I went to double check the timestamps today because I was like, that felt really long, but there's no way it actually went that long. Guys, it went over a minute and 20 seconds. So it was just like, and they still didn't 100% really show you or tell you what that mm-hmm. game is. I guess you just point your controllers at each other and use your imaginations.
I feel like this is the game people anticipated to be packed in with the system. Why they're not packing it in with the system, probably because they feel like they're already losing money on the hardware. I don't know. Considering they're selling some of those controllers for $100, they've got to be losing money on the hardware. But That game.
You mean on the main console, right?
Yeah, on the main bundle. Oh, okay. Like, they're not probably losing money on the $100.
I was like, consoles. I don't think that they're losing money on $100 controllers at all, right?
No. I mean everything that's bundled in that package. It's you know, but with 1-2 Switch, it's a game that. You know, those games don't appeal to me, but if you give them to me for free and I can say, hey guys, come check out the Switch, as opposed to saying, I'm going to go play Zelda, leave me alone. I feel like, you know, that game is there and they're trying to tap into that market where people want to use the Switch as a party console.
Well, like, and that's what they said. Like, it's the new party game, which is very much what Wii Sports was. Like, you know, everyone used to have bowling going at parties way back in the day. But, it's supposed to be a party game, but they haven't really told us too much about it. So is it sandboxy? I mean, is there a point? I don't know.
No, it's just a choose a mini game, play it with your friends.
Well, but see, that's the thing that I'm not sure about is, are there actually mini games to play? Do you create your own? Does it like what does it actually do?
Oh, well, today they actually, so the presentation was about an hour, and then today they streamed all of their games, and actually there's one that I saw that I didn't put in this list here that actually, after seeing it in an extended demo, actually looks kind of neat, but it is a mini game package. There are a bunch of mini games, so one of the mini games is like the draw, and then it tells how long it took you to draw, and then there's some other ones, like there's a milking game.
Try to sound a little bit more excited there.
I'm not excited. I'm just saying that this is what it is. It's a mini game. It's not my cup of tea anymore. Now, maybe when the kids get a little older, that'll be something that I come back around to. But I did the Wii Sports thing. I did the Nintendo Land thing. If it's not a pack-in, I'm not interested, right? It's just not my cup of tea. But, well, okay, so the rest of the launch titles, like, we can agree that it's just, it didn't, No interest there, right? Like, nothing really like, came Zelda, across.
They basically announced Zelda, and then I was like, okay, sold, because Zelda, I want to play the new Zelda. And then I was kind of like, oh, wait a minute. Like, so I was really happy and excited after the presentation last night, and I was just like, okay, I'm totally sold. Like, let's do this. And then I went and pre-ordered today and saw the price having, you know, in Canadian dollars being $100 more expensive. And then I was kind of just like, okay, well, that's really a bummer. And then on top of that, and I know that this is, it's kind of like something I knew, but I guess I didn't remember. But anyways, seeing Zelda being available for purchase on Wii U, I was kind of like, well, do I really need to spend, like, because Ryan also sent me links, because apparently he just likes to pull more dollars out of me, but sent me links to the collector's editions of Zelda and was like, well, you could have normal Zelda, or
you
could have one with the sword.
and this is the thing, actually, I watched a bit of the, so let's talk about these Zelda special editions. Nintendo's not one to usually go above and beyond to create these special editions, and I wish they would continue to do that, because they are the worst at providing stock for the. I don't know why we thought this would be any different. So they have two editions. They have the three. They have the main
three,
one,
yeah.
And they have the limited edition, which comes with a. And this is in North America. We're talking about it differs in the UK and other places, but it's got the Switch case, which actually is really neat, because I thought it was just like a sleeve, but it actually has like places where you can put games and accessories and stuff. It's a bit more beefier than just the Switch console, which is nice. There's a map, which appears to be like a, not tapestry felt, it's a, like a plasticky, but a thicker poster stock. They're actually pulling all this apart on the Twitch stream today. And there's a collectible coin and a soundtrack, which I'm all in. That last trailer that was played at the end of the presentation, I want that soundtrack. And then the difference between the limited and the master edition is the master edition comes with this sword, the master sword, the rebirth. They gave it a weird name, but that is $200 in Canada, that master edition.
Yeah, which I think it's $120 in the States. And yeah.
Now they're saying,
like, I was all on board at $120, but man, that's such a huge price jump. Like, we are getting just gouged. Like, you guys think you have it bad in the States. It's so much worse in other countries. I can only imagine, because I know we have a couple of listeners in Australia, I can only imagine what your prices are going to look like, because I know generally Australian prices are, like, close to double what Canadian prices are. So, guys, if you live down under, I apologize.
Yeah.
Like, and it's really going to suck.
And this is the thing. So this morning when the pre-orders went live, this one went up and then was sold out and kind of flickered a bit. But I saw it available. I'm like, $200. Like, you know, that even 160 at the exact exchange rate was a bit much. And I am hearing that this is a placeholder price, but still at $200, that's a hefty amount.
Is that the sword version or is that the...
That's the sword version.
Okay.
And they showed the sword on the Treehouse Live, and to be honest, it looked a little flimsy. And at $200, that thing shouldn't be plastic. Like,
the thing is, you're paying for a lot. Mm-hmm. There, like, I mean, you've got the game in there anyways, and the game is, I think, $80 in Canada. So mm-hmm. basically, you've got $120 in there for extras. So you've got the soundtrack, which is usually probably around, like, let's say $20. So let's just say it's an even $100 for extras. Then you've got, like you mentioned, the carrying case, you've got the map, and you've got the sword. So even if you say the carrying case is worth $30 and the map is worth $15, like, you're very quickly eating into how much money you have available to put into this sword. So I'm not surprised that it's not like stone and metal, even though that would be super freaking cool. Yeah, but I know what you mean. Like, I hope it looks nice and not cheap. And I also hope that at the preview event that we're going to in a couple of weeks, they have it somewhere so I can be like, or...
Yeah, I think at this point, if you look at what's going on, one of the great subreddits that I follow that I get all my links from, and I gotta give a shout out again, is Amiibo Canada. They're not just Amiibo, they post links for all kinds of Canadian. As soon as the pre-orders went live, they were on top of it, so they're amazing. But yeah, $200. The sword, you know, and I'm not expecting it to be metal and stone either, but at least of a plastic that didn't look like the sword had been bent a little bit. Like, that to me is a red flag. Like, it kind of looked like it was, like, sagging to one side. And I mean,
Was it meant to be, like, mounted on an angle in the stone or something? Was that, like, an aesthetic choice? Oh,
yeah. It just looked like the plastic had been put under stress. And I kind of
wish it was metal and stone, because I would rather like a very small, like 6-inch tall metal and stone version over a larger like plastic version.
Yeah. And Josh in the chat room is saying he's more interested in the map. And I think that when you look at what's in the package, I am less interested in the sword now. Like, and I said to myself, like, I'm not going to get any of these big, huge plastic collector's editions because they always let me down. And I've been much happier collecting the Amiibos, which are smaller, and there's a bunch of Amiibos coming for this game, so maybe I shouldn't even think about buying the sword if I'm thinking about buying the Amiibo. But by the way, did you see the Zelda Amiibo? It looks fantastic.
Really cool. Have not seen any of the Amiibos.
Probably best not to. They look
follow Amiibo the way you do.
Well, they look really, really good, and but here comes the next bit. If you look at the Zelda website, it looks like the limited edition isn't even coming to Canada. It's not available anywhere in Canada. It hasn't even been mentioned. Like, Best Buy is like, I don't know, maybe we'll know in a couple weeks. But, like, nobody knows when this thing is going to be launched. So it might not even be an option for us, which is great, because we already spent all our money on the console.
You know what I would totally do is I would buy the game day one, and then I just buy the collector's edition later, and then I would just open up the collector's edition, pull the game out, and return the game.
And that's something I thought about. Like, I had even thought about, do I get Zelda on Wii U? And then, because I know a couple people who said, like, I'll buy the Switch collector's edition and the Wii U game and not the Switch. And that's something people have talked about. And at the price point of $400, like, and I know Nintendo hardware, unless they really, really hit it hard, they are not going to drop the price on this thing until next year, after a full year of launch. Like, I think it's safe to think that way. But honestly, if all you're interested in is Zelda, we don't know the differences between those two games. I mean, I don't know. The Switch looks really good, and I think the biggest difference is going to be that draw distance, and I think you'll notice it if you see some of your friends playing on the Switch version or see some Twitch streams. But yeah, I don't know. Like, at first I was like, man, I really want that $200 Master Sword edition, but I'm quickly like backing away from it, and even if the limited edition doesn't come out, I think I'll be fine. Like, I just want the game, especially since we already put a lot of money into the console.
And it looks like we're getting some prices in the chat room too.
Mm-hmm.
My chat room's working again. I opened it up on my other computer, so that's why I'm looking over here now. But so we've got some UK price in the chat room who says, in UK pounds, it's going to be 279, which is the equivalent of 341 American and 450 Canadian.
Yeah.
So about 50 Canadian dollars more expensive in the UK, which is kind of crazy.
And the thing is, you know, I think it's safe to say that at launch, there will be other things available on the Switch that you'll be able to do besides play the one game. Like, this isn't the 90s or the early 2000s where you get a console and you put a game in and that's all you can do with it. There's going to be other things you can do. Whether those things are have a nice twist to them as opposed to what you can do on your current consoles. Like, there'll be Netflix, there'll be YouTube, but you'll also probably be able to play the virtual console stuff. But that's just the icing on the cake, I think.
The Wii U didn't have virtual console on launch, did it?
No, it didn't, but... yeah, that's a good point. And I honestly don't know if it'll have virtual console launch.
We really don't know. They just said that there will be online services. So, like, we don't know what that is going to actually entail, and we don't know if it's going to be available on launch, but I think probably not.
They delayed this thing out of 2016. They even delayed talking about it out of 2016 to give themselves more time. And this does not appear like they've given themselves more time. Like, they need this thing to work. They need the Switch to be successful. This could be very well the last Nintendo console we see. They are cannibalizing their handheld market and building one system. And if they can't figure that out, man, that's bad. And I'm a longtime Nintendo fan, and I want to see them continue to make hardware and excel at that. But if they can't figure this one out, man, it's not gonna look so good for them. But
so other than the kind of lackluster launch day, sure, within the I don't even want to call this launch window, I think I might even change the notes, but just the titles that we have launching for the Switch in 2017, mm-hmm, currently include Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, which is basically Mario Kart 8 but for the Switch with a new battle mode.
It's got the battle mode. So the original game didn't have a battle mode that we don't even talk about it. So it's got a battle mode now. More characters. So we're going to get Splatoon
characters. More maps, right?
More maps, yeah. Unique maps and remade maps, both for battle mode and for racing. So and it's actually going to be a budget title. I think you're going to pay, at least in the US, $10 less than you would normally. So they are giving a bit of a bump there on that one, but so it's nice to see them not just throwing it out as another new game. It's mm-hmm, gonna be at a discount, slight discount.
Yeah, very, very slight discount. Yeah. But something's better than nothing.
Exactly.
So that's coming April 28th, and Mario Kart is one of those things that I'm always gonna pick up because I just love Mario Kart. I think it's so fun.
If you haven't played Mario Kart on the Wii U to death, then this is your game, right? And I played a bunch of Mario Kart, and I'm looking forward to playing it again on the Switch because battle mode.
It's gonna be great. So we also have a game that when they were showing it, I was like, okay, what the heck is this, like, Spring Arms game? And then it turns out it's just called Arms.
Yep.
We don't need to get all complicated and put Spring in there, but basically it is like a long distance projectile boxing game, and your arms are springs.
Yep. It's so basically Punch Out is what it is. They played it. I actually it demoed a lot better than it showed in the trailer. It's still an arena fighter, and it's a Punch Out style game where you are choosing your weapons, and it's arena based, and it looks cool, but I'm worried about the depth there. it kind of looks like, you know what it reminds me of? Rock'em Sock'em Robots. Rock'em Sock'em Robots on steroids. And that sounds like a lot of fun. And honestly, this game is coming out spring at some point, so we don't really know. It is a new Nintendo IP, which is nice, but I mean, it kind of just does look
there's
like...
There's not much IP there.
No. You're right. There doesn't look like there's a lot there, but they haven't shown everything yet. So, I mean, I'm not going to completely discount it yet. It did look like they were having a lot of fun playing it, but they are kind of paid.
Have fun, right?
They're paid, which is nice, right? Isn't it nice to pay to... Anyways.
I mean, okay, so to me... Mm-hmm. This ARMS game looks like something that should be a mode in your party game. This doesn't look like it's enough to be a standalone title for me. I think that's my sticking part with it, is that, this seems like something that you would maybe bundle in with the Wii U, or sorry, not the Wii U, the Switch, so that you can, or sorry, the Switch.
You did it. It's rubbing it in.
So, yeah, it looks like something you should bundle in to kind of get people excited about your Joy-Cons, which at first I was just
I'm never going to get used to that.
Joy-Con? What is this? What is con it? Joy-Conference? And Matt's like, controller, Jocelyn, controller.
Oh, gosh.
My blonde is showing.
Oh, no, I thought this, controller. No, that makes sense. That makes sense. But you're right. It looks to be... of a shallow nature in terms of a game experience. I get it, and I totally see that. But we will get to play it. It looks like it will be available to demo. We'll get to try it, and maybe we'll be surprised. Maybe...
It might be a lot more satisfying to punch you from across the room with a spring than I realize.
Think about it. Or online. It looks like there might be online. I don't know. We don't know enough about it, but it does look kind of silly and shallow. But they say it has depth, so who knows?
So the next title that we're going to get sometime in summer 2017 is Splatoon 2, which I know, Ryan, you really enjoyed playing Splatoon on your Wii U. So this is something that I'm looking forward to if I don't cancel my pre-order, because I never got into the whole Splatoon thing on Wii U, but you talked about how great it was. So
it was a lot of fun.
It could be a really cool experience. It looks like they've added new guns that kind of take advantage of the dual controller thing.
Yeah,
because he had it on stream where like literal actual physical like spray paint guns, models of them anyways, and so he was demonstrating how you can spray this way or whoosh them backwards like rockets, and so I mean there could be some new cool controls that take advantage of the fact that you have a Joy-Con in each hand for Splatoon 2. So that'll be really cool to see. I think again it's like these are solid titles even if there are less titles, I guess, but still like I mean one game every few months for this console. I think it's a very weak kind of an offering, including what I think is, I think it's super cool that this is coming to Nintendo, but at the same time, I'm just like, okay, this is a 5-year-old game. Mm-hmm. Skyrim is coming fall 2017. That's their fall offering is going to be a port of Skyrim, which if anyone hasn't already experienced it, I think that's great, but Skyrim has literally been out since the Xbox 360 was a thing. So you had the Xbox 360, you had PlayStation 3, you have Xbox One, you have PlayStation 4, you have PC. It's been available on so many different platforms that if you're waiting for a Nintendo Switch to come out to in order to play it, I think that is Skyrim is not a reason to buy the Switch.
Well, no.
You can probably buy a copy of Skyrim and an Xbox 360 for like $50.
Cheaper than the game on Switch, because exactly. It will be a full price title. And that's the thing, is when this thing launches, you're looking at a 6-year-old game. It will be probably celebrating, because fall always stretches into November somehow. Actually, I guess it legitimately does, but in the video game business, it always feels like fall is either September or October. Make up your mind. So I think it's nice to see Bethesda dipping their toes into the Nintendo waters. It'll be a lot of fun to play Skyrim portably, but I think, again, when we saw the original reveal, we figured, hey, all these products they're showing us, this is going to be right around launch. This is amazing. Like, why else would they show it to us? And the fact that Skyrim is confirmed for the fall, even if that's late summer, I just feel like that's too far for this thing to actually capitalize on the fact that it's getting Skyrim.
I already have Skyrim on Xbox. I have Skyrim, the remastered version, on PC. I have no reason whatsoever to pick it up on the Switch. I mean, other, like you mentioned, it would be portable, but I mean, let's face it, I don't really go anywhere. So
and,
there's
you know,
no reason to get it on the Switch. And if I am going to be playing something on the go, then it's likely that I would play something Nintendo exclusive, like Mario Kart or Zelda. If I'm still playing Zelda, which I probably won't be by fall 2017.
Probably not. I would imagine by fall you would have finished her up. But it's interesting to look at these titles, and Nintendo consoles get a game every couple months. That's how it's always been. Now, we're always hoping it would be different, but I don't think anybody should expect it to be any different, especially right now in the first year. Like, maybe in the second year, if it does really well, you're going to be getting games every once in a while. But if you actually look at the way the PS4 and the Xbox One operate, they're getting similar experiences every couple months, but they are sparsed out using a lot of third-party support. So
exactly.
That's the big difference that I did need to finish off there. Now, with the Switch, they actually put out a graphic saying, like, hey, here are the games that are coming out. And there's like 30 of them. And that's their current 2017 outlook. There's actually a good majority of them just say 2017. And I'm sorry, if you think Xenoblade 2 is coming out in 2017 based on that trailer, you're crazy.
that trailer, I will say, I watched that trailer. I've never played the original, but I watched that trailer and I was like, holy hell, that looks like so much fun. I really think that maybe I secretly like super Japanese anime games.
I'm telling you, every once in a while, it's fun to be super Japanese. I think that's where Splatoon really nailed it, is that it is a super Japanese game, but not to the point where anime boobs. It's just they don't even walk up to the line. It's just, that's why it's good. But there's like squid in it. So, I mean, but anyways, I feel like so far this lineup is, for me as a Nintendo gamer who's expecting this, like this is a good clip. This is better than the Wii U, and the most disappointing part is that the Super Mario game that they announced isn't coming until the holidays. Like, we have to wait a whole year to play this thing. Super Mario Odyssey, and it looks really weird. I don't know how
it
I feel.
Does look really weird.
I don't know how I feel about the real world Mario. Like, a lot of people are like, this is a good weird, guys. This is a good weird, and it's like, it's not a good weird. It's a really weird, too weird for me. But I mean, it's Mario.
So, for those of you who are wondering, the new Super Mario Odyssey title had what looks like maybe a level, and again, they're throwing around the word sandbox, which normally is a gigantic turnoff for me when it comes to games. Mm-hmm. I like a directed questing experience. I like a story. I don't want to just be set out into a world and say, like, Minecraft and me do not get along, because I'm just like, WTF am I supposed to do right now?
Oh, so, well, they've compared it to Super Mario Sunshine. Like, when they're talking about it, when they say sandbox, I think there's talk that maybe the New York is just like one world, and it just...
And that's what I was going to say, weird. Because there are a lot of different aesthetics and a lot of different worlds that are shown throughout the trailer for Super Mario Odyssey. So the New York realism, like realistic level, is probably just one area, world, level, however they split it up. So, but that being said, it is weird. And also, Mario's hat is alive now.
So is he, is Mario's hat trying to eat Mario then, if it's alive? Or does he just have eyes?
I don't know. I really don't know, Ryan. Because it kind of, it looked like at some point Bowser, who was marrying Peach, stomped on Mario's hat. So then, I don't know, did like some benevolent entity shape itself into a hat for Mario to wear? I don't know.
And also, like, Bowser is wearing like a pimp hat for some reason. It's like, I don't...
Didn't you get married in a pimp hat, Ryan?
I did. That's true. I did do that, honestly. So no, I take it all back. Game of the year, Super Mario. Bowser pimp hat. So wait, he's marrying Peach? Is that the actual lore of this game? Was that part of the trailer?
That was part of the trailer, was like, oh, when they're all dressed up, when he stomps on the hat, is their wedding. And then there's actually like a poster about a royal wedding, and it's the picture of the two of them at some point. I think it's at a royal wedding. It was something like that. Wow. But anyways, yeah.
Again, it's a Mario game, and when you throw out titles like Super Mario Sunshine and Super Mario 64 as sort of the goals, what the games you were drawing from, that means a lot to me, because basically
Super Mario 64 was amazing.
Probably the best Mario game ever made, and impossible to top. And I don't even say that because Nintendo has some great developers, but they made magic there. And I think when you say that you're going back to that and looking at it and saying you're going to make a Mario for the core gamers, as opposed to like Super Mario World and 3D Land and all that, felt more like not a casual experience, but more of a...
No, they were very casual experiences, because you had the ability to, you know, play with the whole family. There was the bubble mechanic where somebody could die and then just kind of tag along with the group, and you could pop them out of the bubble whenever you wanted to. But they didn't have to be amazing at Mario. They could still play with the family. Like, it was an extremely casual experience.
Yeah.
That being said, there was elements where you could make it harder for yourself with like some of the collection mechanics and stuff, but generally it was on the casual end of a Mario experience. I think Mario 64 was not.
No, it was tough. It was a very tough mm-hmm. game, and I'm looking forward to going back to that, like the star collecting, and they had that in Galaxy, and I loved Galaxy as well, but it felt more of like a streamlined linear experience, whereas Mario 64 was like explore the world, complete these challenges, and if they present that, and do I get to like, you know, like Goomba stomp like real people in New York? That seems weird. And also, it's not called New York. It's called, like, New Donk City for some reason. So, like, if Bowser has, like, got his hands on some sort of, like, trans-dimensional machine and he's taking over other dimensions, I'm back.
Well, I mean, Mario comes out of a sewer, right? So, like, what if one of the pipes he's always popping down just happens to spit him out of a sewer into a world that's, like, mm-hmm. New York? Then
I can
see that.
I just thought of something. What if this is the long-awaited movie to game adaptation of the Super Mario Brothers movie, and this is why they're set in real world New York, and he has to team up with Bob Hoskins, who is reanimated Grant Tarkin style, and the Leguizamo guy, I can't remember his name, but
is sounding so bad.
Yeah, exactly, which is why this is not going to happen, and it's going to be a fantastic game. I think it looks a little rough because it's early. Like, some of the stuff they were showing, especially the New York stuff, kind of looked a little early to me, so I think mainly like
really,
the skyscraper.
That's funny. I thought it was one of the ones that looked the most polished. I thought there were some of the other levels that looked really janky.
Actually,
like I think there's one point where like Mario like burns his butt on some soup or something, and
yeah,
like wow, okay, there's okay. like nothing in that scene.
Well, no, yeah. So I think that whole game is coming out. The fact that it's coming out in holiday 2017. Kind of shows that a lot of that trailer kind of leaped out at me as whatever wasn't pre-rendered. Like there appears to be cutscenes again, which is great. So that stuff looked really good, but any of the actual gameplay kind of looked a little rough. And that's why I'm fine with it coming out in the holidays, is because I want this Mario game to be good, because frankly, we haven't gotten one for, gosh, 10 years, I guess, if you want to like go back to Galaxy 2. It's been a while. So maybe not even 10 years, maybe less than that, but still a long time, like longer than Breath of the Wild from Skyward Sword. So just take your time, make a great game, and make New Donk City great again. We want that. It's just weird. I mean, like Sonic tried it and it failed miserably. What?
All right, so Leo posted a link in the chat room of what some people think the new hat might look
like
on the inside.
Oh my god, that's terrible. Poor Mario.
I'll check this out after the show, because I think everyone needs to see this link. So guys, if you're wondering, check the gamers in Twitter for this wonderful image.
Wait a minute.
Jeez, that's terrifying.
Is Super Mario Odyssey really Half-Life 3? Is that confirmed now? Is that because that kind of looked like it could be a bit of a head crab there.
Yeah. Whew. Man, oh man. So also in 2018, or sorry, not in 2018, we are getting on January 18th mm-hmm. a Fire Emblem Nintendo Direct, which is what you were talking about earlier, right, Ryan?
Yeah, so it looks like this was sort of announced in tandem with Fire Emblem Warriors. So you remember, you played Hyrule Warriors, right? So they're going to be making a game like that using the Fire Emblem franchise, I assume, because there was like literally like a 6-second trailer. It was like a Vine. I thought they shut that down. But anyways, they'll probably also be talking about the mobile smartphone game that's going to be based on Fire Emblem as well. So more Nintendo stuff coming next week. Wednesday.
There is still some more information. And then, like Ryan said, there was the graphic that they showed of other titles from other developers that are going to be coming in 2017, hopefully. I hope that we get enough in 2017. I hope we hear enough over the next month and a half to actually make the Nintendo Switch worth it. The more I think about it, mm-hmm. the more I kind of, I guess, the kind of rose-colored glasses that I had on last night kind of wore off this morning with the pricing of everything. And
it's expensive.
Since we already own a Wii U, and the only thing that I absolutely like feel like I have to have is Zelda, mm-hmm. I might just wait. What do you think? Because I've seen a couple of people online saying, you know, like, because right now the screen that it comes with is a 720p screen, which is better than the Wii U screen, but still mm-hmm. only 720p, and I think that's a battery life thing. How likely do you think that they're going to like do something like extend the battery life or up the resolution on the screen, or you know, do any of these other kind of technological updates within the first kind of couple of years over the life of the console? Like, do you think we're going to see like a Switch Plus come out in a year or two with better hardware?
I mean, considering Nintendo has done that with their portable line, like they do reintroduce new hardware.
Ooh, XL? Oh, it could be an XL. It could be 1080p, and they could call it XL.
Yeah, and honestly, there's no stopping you from sliding it into the same dock, because that dock does not restrict you. It restricts you width-wise, but mm-hmm. length and anyways, yeah, that would work. And again, Nintendo has been known to, release updated hardware on the portable side. And, you know, in terms of battery life, it does charge via USB-C. So you could literally grab one of those, like, phone batteries and just plug it right in. Not ideal, but still much cheaper than purchasing, like, an official battery extender. But, yeah, maybe a 1080p screen is a logical bump. And I think really the only reason that there is a physical 720p screen in there, so you're not going to get all of a sudden a boost to get 1080p graphics, but maybe if they release a new one with an updated battery, they will be able to spit out 1080p without that battery life dropping significantly. Mm-hmm. But for me, like, I don't know, I'm fine with 720p handheld.
I'm totally fine with 720p as well. I'm just mm-hmm. kind of throwing out their possibilities for hardware upgrades that they might do that would be, as someone who doesn't actually build physical hardware for consoles, I don't really know. Like, it's hard for me to say would be easy, because that's kind of silly. But it would be kind of like the next logical upgrade step that I could see them doing. Like, I mean, you've got kind of like updates to processors, updates to screens, updates to battery life, and those are kind of like the big three. Yep. So I'm just wondering if they do something like that within the first year or two, like, do you think that that's something they might do? Because if they do, that's the console I can see myself purchasing.
I can see them doing that, but you wouldn't see something like that until a year from now.
Yes, exactly. But I'm saying, like, if I can buy Zelda, the game I really want to play, I can mm-hmm. play it on my Wii U that I already own. Maybe I should skip the first generation Switch and see if they come out with something in a year, or wait for a price break, because like I said, that's the only one that I feel like I absolutely have to experience. Mm-hmm. And it's available on the previous gen console, so
Yeah. I think it's something I thought about, but then I realized that, like, I want to play, like, this is a Zelda game. It comes across every 5-6 years, and I want to play the best version. And I mean, there's no getting around it. The Switch version will be the best version. This isn't the Twilight Princess scenario. Definitely. But does that mean it's going to be necessarily like the be-all end-all version? Like, it's going to be better, but it's not going to kill the Wii U version for you. I think really, if you're looking at the difference between the Wii U and the Switch, there hasn't been an honest-to-God really good comparison between the differences, but you're going to get higher graphic fidelity and a longer draw distance. And I mean, if you watch that trailer, there is a shot where they kind of do like a weird like helicopter spin, and you get to see like a good portion of the world. And I mean, if you can see that, you know, no fog of war on the Switch, like that's, and I know I'm going to enjoy a lot of the games coming out, but if you look at that lineup, that those five games we have in the notes, and they don't pique your interest enough, then I think a lot of folks that are excited about Nintendo hardware are going to be picking up Breath of the Wild on Wii U.
I feel so bad, Ryan. I feel like I literally kicked your puppy, because I know that, like, this morning, like, all the messages that were going back and forth between us, and I was like, oh my god, yes, I got the pre-order, blah 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 blah. Like, and Ryan was so, because I haven't actually bought a Nintendo console on launch. I actually don't think ever. I feel like you got pretty excited when I was like, oh my god, I got my pre-order, I'm gonna have, you know, new Nintendo console, we can play stuff together.
I was surprised.
It's gonna be so great. But now I'm just like, oh, maybe I should actually cancel, and kicks Ryan's puppy.
No. But the thing is, like, it shouldn't, we've been doing this show long enough that it shouldn't surprise anybody that I'm gonna buy this day one. I didn't even surprise myself. Like, I saw that price tag and I'm like,
that's just my life now.
if there's one, I know it's going to launch with Zelda. I'm going to buy one game with it, and I'm going to play that game. And if that, and again, I know to some people that makes me sound kind of like, man, what's this guy doing? Like, it's my hobby, and it's probably the only game I'm going to buy between now and March. But to me, I don't look at it as a Zelda machine. I look at it as a investment in the Nintendo games I want to play for the next year, because this is literally the only way I'm going to get to play new Nintendo games, because
that is true.
This is it. There's no, like, the 3DS is going to get a minimal support, but they're mostly Wii U ports. But yeah, I don't blame anybody for wanting to play this thing on Wii U, because I was tempted. I thought about it honestly for a little while, but you know, and like you, I have a month and a half to kind of mull that over. And I think the best thing going for me is just buy the regular ass edition of Zelda and enjoy that premium experience, as opposed to having, like, and then buy the soundtrack off of iTunes. Like, that's really the only thing I really truly want. And I don't need more plastic stuff, as I'm going to buy the amiibos. Like, we know that's going to happen as well. So yeah, we don't need any more plastic shit. It's fine. But I think people buying the Wii U version, I totally get it. Because you already own that console, and you bought that console to play Zelda. A lot of people did, you know?
So, and then you never got one.
Yeah.
This is literally your Wii U Zelda, people.
Yeah. It's not the Switch Zelda, because you're running into the same issue as you did with the GameCube. The GameCube should have had two Zeldas, and the Wii one, but they got two. So, yeah, it doesn't bother me at all, or you know, change my opinion of people if they want to just continue getting on the Wii U, because I totally get it. That is the smart ass move right there.
I think that's actually pretty much gonna wrap up our Nintendo talk. Hopefully we touched on everything that you think is important about the Nintendo Switch. If you didn't, please do send us an email at info@gamersandpodcast.com, and if you do, to give your opinion of the Nintendo Switch, then we have a Smite Tactics code to give you. So make sure you send in your feedback, again, to info@gamersandpodcast.com. Anyone who sends in an email with the subject Nintendo Switch will be entered in to get a Smite Tactics code. I have played it. It's super freaking fun. You guys should definitely try to win one of those. That's, I think, going to do it for us tonight. You can visit us on the web at gamersandpodcast.com. You can find us on Amove TV along with other fabulous podcasts, including The Angry Nerd, Into the Nexus, Overwatchers, The Angry Chicken, and For Azeroth. You can follow us on Twitter. You can find me, Jocelyn, at JossPlays. Ryan is at RMurphy. And don't forget to follow the show at TheGamersIn. Because remember, I'm going to post that ridiculous Mario hat image. Oh. And you guys do not want to miss it because it is crazy, freaking, creepy, awesome, weird. So, again, that is follow the show over on Twitter at TheGamersIn. The video versions of all our episodes can be found on our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/amovetv. You can also find the show on Facebook and Google+. And once again, remember to send us in your Nintendo Switch emails to info@gamersinpodcast.com. Thanks for staying at the Gamers Inn. Remember, tune in next week. Bye, everybody.
Bye. You forgot to switch.
Oh, right. Bye.